From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Two employees of a Trader Joe's grocery store in Manhattan were attacked by shoppers in late July after they were asked to wear a mask as per store policy. One shopper ripped the worker's mask off while the other pulled a worker's hair and threw baskets at them. According to the Washington Post, using a wooden paddle typically meant to help direct the flow of traffic at cash registers, they began pummeling another employee over the head, so much so that the worker had to be hospitalized. In an era where essential workers are already underpaid but expected to risk their lives to provide a service, they're now also expected to face the wrath and violence of mask refusers. We turn to Stuart Applebaum, Executive Vice President of UFCW. He's also the President of the Retail, Wholesale and Department Store Union. Welcome to the program, Stuart.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So in addition to their duties, it seems as though retail workers right now, grocery store workers, people work in cafes and restaurants, are also inadvertently being turned into enforcers of social distancing guidelines, right?
That is absolutely wrong. That should never happen. It is the employer's responsibility to provide a safe workplace. And that means everyone in the workplace needs to be wearing masks. That requirement needs to be enforced, but it needs to be enforced by the employer, either through managers or through security, but not by the workers. The workers should not be enforcing that mandate. It's the employer's responsibility.
I cited perhaps one of the most egregious examples, but what have you heard about the abuse that retail workers, that grocery workers, department store workers have faced over the last several months?
For a long time, these workers were almost invisible. But because of the pandemic, people have begun to understand how essential these jobs are, how important these jobs are. Our society would not have been able to function if grocery workers, despite their own fears, did not come to work each day. There is so much anxiety, so much to worry about. It's not just the work environment, it's about getting to work, it's about childcare. And the last thing that people need is more anxiety created by customers who refuse to do what is socially responsible and necessary. We've heard too much from employees of different retailers about how they are being mistreated by customers. Everyone's on edge. You don't take it out on the workers. And we hear too much from our members about how employers are abdicating their responsibilities. They need to keep the workplace safe, and that means they need to require that everyone wears a mask.
Right. I imagine that in pre-pandemic times, it, you know, you certainly always had rules such as no shoes, no shirt, no service, etc. But by and large, most people wear clothes and shoes when they come in. And so I imagine that it isn't a big deal for workers to be expected to enforce those very basic rules. But with the mask issue, so much changed so fast, I imagine.
Disagree. If I could just disagree,
sure,
it wasn't the worker's responsibility to enforce no shirt, no shoes, no service. That was the employer's responsibility. That's not what a worker has signed up for when they took this job. It is the employer's responsibility to have adequate security, your managers, or to get personnel to make sure their workplaces are safe. The worker should never be put into that situation.
And now we have places in the country where people, as per open carry laws, might be able to walk into stores armed. And if they feel vehemently about wearing masks, that puts the lives of workers at stake, right?
It does. And part of the problem is also the ambiguity that's coming from the top. Our elected officials have failed us. Our employers have failed us. It has to be clear that wearing a mask is a health need. It's not a political statement. It's something everyone needs to do. And our elected officials need to be making that clear, and they are not. They have politicized mask wearing to such an extent that it almost encourages its confrontations in stores. So it's the customers are wrong, but once again, Trump is wrong as well for having failed to provide the leadership we need.
I mentioned the Trader Joe's story, but there was an even worse story in early August when a man in Bethlehem Township, Pennsylvania, walked into a cigar shop, and when the clerk there told him that he had to wear a mask, the man grabbed a couple of cigars, stormed outside, and then pulled a handgun and shot at the clerk. When he was cornered by police the next day, he pulled out his AK-47 and injured at least several officers. Of course, then he was under arrest. And it's quite remarkable that this sort of stuff keeps happening. You said that Trump has confused the issue of mask wearing. So his voters, his base, who are, let's just say, opinionated, to say the least, almost seem itching to have a fight when they enter these stores. And then it's the poor workers that have to bear the brunt of these politics. Whether the workers have a position on mask wearing or not, if it's store policy, the workers are being required to enforce it in the face of potential violence.
It's what we have done is we've made clear in our contracts that it's not the workers who need to enforce it. Yeah. In fact, we've also negotiated in our contracts that if someone approaches you who is not wearing a mask, you just walk away, you go to a manager, you say, "This is your problem, not mine." And the worker cannot be disciplined in any way for refusing to provide service. Unfortunately, that's another difference between union and non-union environments.
Right.
In non-union stores, that's not the case. You're still expected to service someone regardless of whether or not they're wearing a mask. It's just wrong.
What are you advising employers to do? I imagine that there might be some out of work security guards these days, whose maybe clubs or other venues, gathering venues, are closed down, that could easily be hired to enforce mask wearing.
You're right. They have to be willing to get more personnel. They need to get more personnel if they have a problem enforcing the requirements. You're absolutely right on that. A worker never signed up to be an enforcer. That was never part of their job description, and it's not part of their job description now. And the non-union facilities, people keep reaching out to us because they understand that they need support, they need a collective voice, they need collective power. And I think people are calling us now more than they ever have before, wanting to know about how they form a union in their own store. And part of the reason for that is because of the way they're being treated by their employers during this pandemic, including being expected to be face mask enforcers.
Would hazard pay be enough?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. People deserve hazard pay not because of a face mask requirement. They deserve hazard pay because they are working during a pandemic in a public-facing job that exposes them to this sort of danger. That's not what they had thought they were getting into or what they were originally being paid for, but that's why hazard pay was made available in so many places. And I also have to say that a lot of employers now, even especially supermarkets that have done very well during this period, have begun trying to end hazard pay, even though it's just as dangerous today as it was months ago. The pandemic hasn't ended, and hazard pay needs to stay in place.
If anything, of course, we know that it is much, much, much worse than it was in April. 1,000 people on average a day dying in the United States. Now, we've heard a lot about healthcare workers and the need for hospitals and authorities to provide them with personal protective equipment because they are daily treating patients with COVID. What about providing such equipment or some version of such equipment for retail workers? Whose responsibility is that?
It's the employer's responsibility, again, to make it a safe work environment. That means it's their responsibility to provide personal protective equipment. I think that's pretty well understood now. It's the employer's responsibility, not the worker's responsibility. And they have to make sure that the equipment they provide is equipment that's going to do the job. You need to provide equipment that's going to keep people safe. I know of one poultry plant in the South, a different sort of workplace, but an employer decided to put up barriers between workers, and they put up barriers made of Saran wrap. That did nothing.
Wow.
If you're going to be providing protection, it has to be real protection, and it has to be the appropriate PPE for the job that people are doing. We negotiate that with our employers.
Right. I just want to cite a small anecdote, personal anecdote. I'm a seamstress, and since March, I've been sewing handmade cloth face masks. And a grocery store worker from Mississippi saw me on social media, contacted me, and asked me to make her and her fellow store employees handmade masks because they didn't have any. So here I am in Southern California sewing these masks, mailing dozens of handmade masks to grocery store workers in Mississippi. And it was just a tragic thing. I mean, I just felt sad thinking about what they had to do.
Thank you for doing that. It's so important.
Let's talk about the importance of a union, and this is so critical. For years, there has been a demand for $15 an hour and a union. The and a union part is so critical because, as you said, if workers are unionized, their union can negotiate with the employer about the terms and the conditions that might have changed under COVID. But for those workers who are not unionized, they don't have leverage, right? The employers can just change their job description on them.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you are a worker in the United States, you should have a union. And you should seek one if there is not one in your workplace now. We represent workers at one large department store chain where we represent workers in the New York area, and those stores are union. But the employer operates non-union outside of a few places. And so the other non-union facilities reopened before the union facilities did. In the non-union facilities, they had no face mask requirement. For testing, they told people, test yourself at home, take your temperature, and when you report to work, tell us if it's okay for you to be working that day. And when it came time for the union stores to reopen, we said, that's nonsense. It's inadequate. We made new rules. And because of the union and the union contract, we had much stronger protections in the union stores than in the non-union stores of the same employer. Having a union in your workplace makes a huge difference. We were able to negotiate over reopening. We were able to negotiate protections for workers. And unfortunately, that does not happen in non-union stores.
Another anecdote, I have a cousin who is a grocery store worker in the Boston area who early in the pandemic, when I reached out to him to make sure he was okay, said that the chain store managers were refusing to allow workers to wear masks because it was not part of the uniform. Quite remarkable that that was even the case. So at this point, are you seeing, Stuart, renewed interest from non-union workplaces contacting your union to find out how they can start the process of getting unionized?
I've been involved with the union for many, many years. I have never seen as much interest in forming a union as I do now. We are receiving calls and calls from people who understand that if they had only had a union, conditions might have been safer where they work. And it's, I think that, you know, like there are things that we should be learning from this pandemic. And one of the things that I think is very important is that workers need collective power to protect themselves.
And of course, we have right now, as you and I are talking, a debate in Congress about whether those workers who were laid off deserve $600 a week in jobless benefits, which at 40 hours a week works out to $15 an hour. And, you know, people like Steven Mnuchin think that that's just far too generous. All of the billionaires and millionaires in the Trump administration and in the Senate, among Senate Republicans in particular, think that that's far too generous because many of the jobs that they might go back to don't even pay that much. And of course, we also know that union workers tend to have higher wages and better benefits simply because they're unionized than non-union workers, right?
I would say that the money they get that's higher than in non-union places comes solely because they've come together and they've negotiated as a union for better pay. I think that what Mnuchin is saying is really stupid economics. You want people to have money so they can spend it. We need to have people with the ability to spend money if you want the economy to do better. And I think it's a smart economic move giving this additional unemployment benefit to people who are out of work because of the pandemic. I also think that they make another mistake. They presume that people prefer not to be working. Well, that's not the case for a lot of people whose health care is tied to their employment. If they are not working, they may not have access to health care. So even if they were to get $600 more, they're still going to think about whether or not they can afford not to have the employer negotiated health care.
Finally, Stuart, do you hope that workers, whether unionized or non-unionized, because they're considered essential, have more leverage today for their rights and to demand their rights than in recent years? We have discovered just how much our economy, our society, our communities depend on the local grocery store staying open in the midst of an emergency, or restaurant workers being, you know, turning into grocery workers and being there to ensure people are fed. That understanding that these are essential workers gives them a little bit more leverage, if not, you know, more dignity.
They were essential workers before the pandemic. They're essential workers during the pandemic. And hopefully there will be an after the pandemic and they'll still be essential workers. The difference is that they were invisible to many people before. And now people understand how important the services that they provide. We value work strangely in this country. And there are too many people who are not paid enough for work that is essential for society continuing. I would hope and I would expect that they have come out of the shadows now and the public will be much more supportive of these workers getting fair wages. That will be one positive change that comes out of the pandemic.
For any retail workers that are non-unionized and are listening to or watching this interview, what do you suggest they do?
I suggest that they go to our website, www.rwdsu.org, and find out how it is that they can get a union at their own workplace.
That's rwdsu.org, stands for the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. We'll post a link to that from our website. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your wonderful reporting, always.
Appreciate it. Stuart Applebaum is Executive Vice President of UFCW and President of RWDSU. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.